Matthew chapter 19, verse 14, reading out of the New Living Translation here this morning. It says, "But Jesus said, 'Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like these children.'" Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, Lord, and I pray that we come with a childlike faith, childlike eyes. Lord, I pray that we hear today. Lord, I pray you show us your word. So, Father, I pray you open our hearts. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to hear your word this morning as we dig in, Lord. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are starting a new series. We wrapped up the Overcome series, and I had a few in mind. I had three in mind, and we'll probably get through them at some point. And I was actually struggling up until about a week and a half ago. Which one do we go through? And my wife and I were going for a walk, and she was talking about children's ministry, which she is over here at church, and the fact that we were going to have the kids with us for the next couple of months at least. And it occurred to me, wow, I got to preach to the old ones and the young ones too. This is going to be a challenge. How can I deliver a message that all ages can hear? And it occurred to me one of the series I wanted to go through was parables, because Jesus taught in parables, because Jesus taught all ages. He was his own kids' church and nursery care and young adults and the stage right after young adults. He had to speak to all ages, and he did that by sharing stories, parables. And I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you read a parable, and then a week later, a month later, a year later, 10 years later, you read it again and go, oh, that's cool, and you learn something different, or you see something different. Parables are powerful. Stories are powerful. And he taught the children, and he never looked down on the children. They were never a bother to him. He said, "Bring them to me." Why? Because the kingdom of heaven belongs to our children, which is beautiful. So we're going to go through a series here of parables, and the video or the picture, the logo here is mixtape parables. How many of y'all are old enough to remember mixtapes? How many of y'all had mixtapes when you were younger? That was like the 80s and 90s and stuff like that. Sorry, I don't go back to 8-tracks. I leave that to some of you guys. But mixtapes, what did we do? We used to take our cassette tape. Young ones don't even know what that is. And we put it in that radio, and we'd record it. And then we'd do that with all of our favorite songs. Or we'd get our cassettes of other songs, and we'd put it onto them. We'd have our favorite mixtape. And so that's what we're going through, our mixtape of parables. And these are my favorite parables that we're going to go through, at least the parables I think the Lord is leading us to go through. And I also use this this picture, this graphic, just because this also reminds me of one of my top 10 favorite movies. If you can identify what that is, you're one of my type of people. I love you guys. The rest of you, I still love you too. But anyways, we're going through a mixtape. We're going to mix up some parables each week and dig into it. But as I said, the kids are here with us, which you can figure out whatever the age that is, because some of us are trying to act like mature adults, but in reality, we're just a bunch of big kids. And so with our kids in here, I have a challenge for all of our kids. And if you're a little bit older than kid and you want to participate in this, you're welcome to do that. But I've got a challenge in the entryway there. So each week there's going to be a new coloring page, and there's also activity pages as well. And there are binders. Miss Emily has some if you haven't grabbed them. Otherwise, you can go grab them. You're going to want this during this message. And I encourage you to color the picture, because this is the message we're going to go through. And on the back side, each week, I, Pastor Jason, have a question that I want to ask each of the kids. And so kids, your parents can help you out with it. And it's just a simple question that you're going to hear some of it throughout the message. And I want you to answer that. So you color and you answer it. Maybe your parents could help write it down what your answer is. And when the service is over, either find me or Ms. Emily and bring your coloring pages. I want to see your coloring pages. And then I want to hear from you what your answer is to that question. It's just a simple little thing. I want to hear what God is doing or what God has spoken to you. And when you do, you get a little gift. You get a little surprise. Now the adults are going, And we're going to try to do this each week because we're all here together. And so I want to speak to the old'uns and the young'uns. And we try to hit everyone, but kids, if you can, use your ears, but focus in on your coloring. You see, this week, I did something I have not done in a long, 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 long time. If you want to put it up, I did some coloring this week. So what does your pastor do during the week? Oh, he likes to color. That's his thing. So I did some coloring. I pulled out the thing that we had because I knew kind of the subject of the message that we were going to be having, the parable. But before I started digging into the word, I did some coloring. Again, I haven't done this in a long time. And it was kind of cool because it kind of slowed me down a little bit. Some of you actually still like to color. That's fine. I'm not going to judge. I'm coloring now, I guess. But it's kind of calming. It kind of slows the scripture in the story, the parable. And I'm looking at this picture. I'm starting to imagine, because that's what kids do. They imagine. I started to imagine the story, and I started to kind of hop into it and see things that the Lord was kind of revealing to me. And so I might do this every week, because I think it gives me a little better perspective. I'm going to speak one thing right now, but it's going to be a couple different conversations because we have different ears. But he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Right now, the world is having a conversation. I think we're well aware of what's going on in this world. And everyone in this world has an opinion of how you color your pages. You know, when it comes to a drawing, if you guys remember back to grade school, and you had it, there was no right or wrong way to color your pages. It was your drawing. It was your coloring. Pink, red, or orange sheep? Nope, unless someone came around with a spray can and took care of them that way. I colored them pink, red, and orange. Why? Because I wanted to. It was just what I was thinking at the time of, what are some different colors? What's something else I can put in here? So why would I do that? You know, honestly, in my coloring, it doesn't really matter what color the sheep are. Jesus loves them. Amen? Doesn't matter. Jesus loves them. Today, the conversation going on in this world is how you and I see the world colored. And everyone has an opinion on that. And more than likely, whatever you do, someone's going to say your perspective is wrong. The way you see things is wrong. Someone's going to have that opinion. But I think that's the wrong conversation. The right conversation is, God, how do you see the world? Your eyes. I think we need to have that conversation with people. But still, you're going to get negative feedback. But God, how do you see the little ones? How do you see the sheep painted in, colored in? God, I want to have your eyes. Because through God's eyes, he loves them all. So should I. That was free. That has nothing to do with the message, but just a little side note as we are coloring in our stories. Let's have God's eyes. Let's see the world the way he sees it. So we're going to dig into this story, a parable this morning. Matthew chapter 18. So we were just in Matthew 19. So roll back a chapter to Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 12. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Is lost? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. So we're going to dive into this parable a little bit. There's just three little things that popped out to me as might answer some questions, bring us some revelation out of this parable. But again, I encourage us. And I think it's a great, great way to dig into the Word of God. Because I love to read a story and then close my eyes. And try to see. Try to experience what's going on in that story. And as I did that, before I did that, really, I was coloring. And I kept on coming back to this one image as I read through this parable, as I was doing the coloring. And I got this picture, and I had questions with it. So we're going to look at this scripture, but there's something not in this scripture. It's another scripture that kept on popping out into my mind that I want to dive. This is in Matthew chapter 18. A few things jump out at me. Number one is one of them wanders away. That word, the Greek word in there for wanders, is planao, and it means to be led astray. It doesn't mean to be captured. It doesn't mean to be kidnapped. It doesn't mean to stand in defiance or walk away in defiance. No, it means to be led astray or to be led in error. Have you ever been led astray by something? Have you ever wandered away from where you should be, but it was in error, and maybe you didn't realize it? What are the things that lead you astray? You know, I've been reading this book, this Bible, for a long time, and there are things, understandings, as we talked about last week. Don't lean on your own understanding. I've used my own brought into my life, and realize I've been straying from the truth, and I need to be brought back. Sometimes our understanding of the Bible, the revelation of the Holy Spirit within us, needs to bring us back to the way God sees things. So sometimes our understanding, our brains lead us astray. Has your brain ever led you astray? A thought you've had that's been untrue? A thought that you've had that's been maybe fearful? Sometimes that draws us away, leads us astray. Another thing that can lead us astray is people. Now, Paul did say, follow me as I follow Christ. And there are people in our lives that we can follow after. I try to model my life after Christ, yes, but my dad's a pretty good example in my life. But sometimes people in whom we trust have destroyed our trust, and we begin to wander. And then maybe we never trust again. We find ourselves holding back. Sometimes people, maybe it's a role model. We put a lot of our hope in an individual, and that can be lost. Or that person may lead us astray. We have to be very careful of wandering away from Christ and the things that lead us astray. So how do we overcome that? Well, we must be, above all, committed to Christ. Jesus Christ above all. Not your husband, not your wife, not your children. Jesus Christ. Not your pastor. Not your favorite basketball player. We need to be committed to Jesus Christ above all. What does he say? What does he do? Because we don't want to wander away. And it says that as the one wandered away, that the shepherd left the 99. Now, if you're part of the 99, you go, well, that's not very nice. I've been living a pretty good life. I go to church. I take communion. I give. I love on people. I serve the community. I have an active and strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus would leave me? Well, as I look into that, I start looking at, where did he leave him? He left the 99 on the hillside. He didn't leave him in the middle of a stream, a raging river. He didn't leave him in the middle of a snowstorm. I don't know if they have snowstorms there in the Mideast. He didn't leave them on a mountainside, on a cliff. He left him on a hillside, pasture, grassland. He left them in a pretty good place. But more importantly, he left them together. He left the 99. There's something cool about, we've talked about this the last few weeks, something pretty nice about the herd. I love my herd. Sorry. That's what you are to me. Or my flock. Is that better?
Flock.
But there's something about this family. There's something about being together, the body of Christ. And I feel safe here amongst my 99. Especially when we've 2, 3, 4, never mind. It's so good to be together, especially when we've been apart for so long. Now, yes, when we come together, we do identify pretty quickly our differences and maybe different areas that we see the world, maybe disagreements, maybe how we do things different. But it's coming together where we find our strength. And Jesus never leaves us. But there's something cool about being in the herd together, being in the flock together. Because we can look out for one another. We can pray for one another. We can encourage one another. As we shared a little testimonies last week, we should do that. We should come together with youth group on Wednesdays so parents can get a little break. We should come together for if tables for the ladies so the husbands can take care of the kids. It's good to come together. There's so many wonderful things in being a body of Christ. Jesus didn't just leave them. He left them in a good place on a hillside, and he left them to be in the body of Christ. And it says he rejoices over the one. So now even if you feel like, did Jesus just leave us here? That's not nice. And then he rejoices over. Did he throw a party? Were the angels and the rock band having a big worship party because of this one sheep? Was he just focused on the one? Did he not invite the other 99? You might feel like, maybe, does God rejoice over other people more than me? And we can kind of get drawn into that. But that word rejoice is the Greek word kairo. And that word actually means greeting or salutation or Godspeed. It's something you say when you see someone you haven't seen in a while. Jesus found the 99. What did he say? I am so glad to see you. That was his rejoicing. It was a salutation. It was a greeting. I'm so glad. Jesus is so glad to see you. It reminds me of the story of the prodigal son who went on his own way, and he's eating the slop, and he's amongst the pigs, and he felt, if I go back to my father's house, he won't accept me as a son, but maybe if he'll at least accept me as a servant, and that'll be at least a better place for me to be. I'll go back there. And what did the father do when he came back? Wrapped his arms around him. Said, my son has returned. His dad said, son, I'm so glad to see you. Some of you here this morning are just sitting in a chair because that's what we do on Sunday mornings. But your heart and your mind feels that you have wandered away because you know what you've done. You know what you're doing. And you go, there is no way Jesus Christ wants this. And yet Jesus Christ can simply say to you when you turn to him, I'm so glad to see you. Face, I am so glad to see you. Return to the Father, return to the Shepherd. Because he is glad to see you, and I'm glad to see you. Hopefully we're all glad to see one another. So there's a few points in this scripture, but again, as I was reading this and I was drawing this picture, coloring it in, I kept on seeing something in my mind. Something jumped out at me as these kids are drawing. They are probably filling it in. And I kept on looking at that staff. Because I thought of the shepherd. And the only thing the shepherd has, he doesn't have a backpack. He's not in camo. He doesn't have a sword. He carries a staff. And when you think of the shepherd's staff, is there a certain scripture that might come out to you? I instantly was thinking of Psalms 23. Psalms 23, verses 1 through 4, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Verse 4, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. So I was thinking about this staff that Jesus had, and I was thinking Psalms 21 and the beautiful picture that Psalms 23 shows us. But then I saw those two words, your rod and your staff. Wait a second, God. According to the scripture that is my coloring page, you only have one stick. And that's all I've ever seen Jesus or the shepherd carry is one staff. So why is there two? You see, As far as I knew, shepherds always carry a big stick. Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly and carry a big stick. Words of wisdom to parents all over the place. Is that all a shepherd does? What are their purposes? Now, some, as I researched and dug into it, some believe that, yes, they are one and the same. But the rod and the staff, whether this one instrument or two, have different purposes. If it is just one, the staff is many times... Em, could you do me a favor? I forgot to do that. In my office is a staff. Could you grab that by the file cabinet? Thank you. I love you. Take away from coloring. This will help, though, I think. If the rod and the staff is one thing, the lower half is intended to be the staff, the bottom half of it, and the rod is on the top. So what are their purposes, whether they are the same or two separate things? Now, the staff, the lower half, is intended to support. It's intended for rest. We got young ones in here, and we got others that want to take. Are you going to be nice? You're going to show how it's used? Thank you. Pastor Ken gave this to me when we became pastor here at Grace Community Church. So the staff, the lower half, is tend to be the staff, and it's for resting. Now, yes, it's something meant to be leaned upon. So if you are walking through treacherous terrain, I think, Bill, you know all about these things. As you go through Alaska wilderness, you need extra support. Sometimes the two legs aren't enough. And so there's a staff that helps you walk through. You can lean upon it. As well as many times a shepherd, if they needed a break, they couldn't necessarily sit down because they can't see as well. Or there isn't really good places to be seated all the time. And so it's simply meant to lean upon, to give the shepherd some rest. But the shepherd's staff, the staff part of it, there's another purpose, and it can be used to guide. Let me use a different terminology. Nudge. Sometimes the shepherd needs to nudge the sheep. Because sometimes you're in a difficult place. Maybe they're climbing a hillside or a mountainside, and he can see the top where they need to go, but his eyes can clearly see a path to navigate. The sheep don't see this. And so he can stand along the path and just nudge the sheep just a little bit to get them back on track, to get them where they need to go. Have you ever been nudged by God? You ever been nudged by the Holy Spirit? His rod and his staff, they comfort me. God's nudgings, our shepherd's nudgings, they should bring us comfort because he is trying to guide us along the way, a little to the left, Jason, a little to the right. No, don't go there. See, right now, I think we're all going through some pretty rough terrain that we don't know how to navigate. There's lockdowns. There's shutdowns. The economy is either crashing or booming, depending upon who you ask. Question mark, I guess you could say. Jobs. Some have lost jobs. Some are concerned. Will they ever get a job back? And then you add this on top of it. Now you're greatly concerned. How in the world do I navigate this? Even having the thought, should I actually go to church or not? That's a hard question. The fact that you have to ask that question means this is difficult. This is challenging. And then we try to get through that, and now there's protests knocking on our doors, affecting people all over the world. And those protests are turning into riots. And so now we're like safety and concern, our concern of our safety. What do I need to protect my family? I'd say this is some pretty rough terrain we're going through. But his staff, it comforts me. We may not see the top of this incline. We may not be able to see beyond the next border, but Jesus is simply there giving you a little nudge. We follow the Holy Spirit within us saying, no, not that way. Let's go this way. Shepherd rest. It can bring us rest, something we can lean upon. But the staff should also be able to guide us through this time. So that's the staff. But then there's a rod. Now, the word there used in the Old Testament for rod can be defined as a shaft, a club, a truncheon, or a scepter. A couple of different meanings. But it's all what a rod is. And sometimes it's a separate instrument. So a shepherd may carry simply a stick, a walking stick, a staff. But then he would also carry with him, maybe on a leather strap, a rod. Now a rod would be a couple of feet long, a smaller thing, and it would be probably made of wood, but at the end of the rod would be this thick mass, a heavy club type thing. Or some staffs might even have a bit of a hook in it, a crook, that again could be held for support, for leaning on. So what's a rod used for? Microphone just died? All right. Might be running out of batteries because I talk so much. But at the end of it could be a club. And so there's a purpose for that. And that's for stubborn sheep. You ever been a stubborn sheep? What would be a club used for? It would be a rod of correction. Sometimes we're stubborn sheep, and sometimes we need correction. Sometimes we stand in defiance. No, I'm not going to take that path, Jesus. I don't know where that leads. No, I'm just going to go over here. I think this is better. And God can bring correction. But then we have that argument, that debate. Well, God wouldn't do anything like that. We don't have corrects. Job is getting corrected. Maybe he's getting nudged a little bit, and then maybe a little bit more. I am blessed when God corrects me because he's getting me on the right path. I need to no longer be stubborn and try to do things my way, the way I think, the way I've always done it. God corrected Israel and Judah. You read in the Old Testament. They wandered from God. They were led astray, and eventually they just turned their backs on God, and he corrected them. But he didn't come down with a big club. He allowed other nations, other instruments to come into their life to bring correction. And I believe God does that in our lives. He brings other voices or other things in our lives to bring correction. And they're usually pretty hard. They're usually pretty thick. They usually sting a little bit. Maybe losing a job. Maybe a broken relationship. These are things that affect us greatly, that God is saying, I'm trying to correct your thinking. Allow me to correct you. Be blessed that I'm trying to bring you. God's correction should comfort me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was also used for protection from wild animals. He could use the same thing, this same club end, same rod, to guard and protect you from other things. As you guys do your drawing, you notice it's just a stick, but imagine it as a Captain America shield or a lightsaber, a big sword, okay? It's the shepherd's weapon. It's the thing he can use to get rid of the enemy that is coming after you. It's his secret weapon. God wants to protect you. Again, you can write this down, Psalms 28:7. God protects and defends me. That's what he does as the shepherd with his staff, his rod. He protects and he defends you. And that comforts me. Be comforted by the rod and the staff. And finally, can you imagine any old movie? The king sitting upon his throne, and he would have a short rod, a short scepter. And maybe there was something fancy at the top of it. Maybe a gem, a jewel, or something like that. And what did that scepter show? He was king. That he has authority. Jesus Christ, our shepherd, carries his staff, his rod, and it signifies his authority. As our shepherd, yes, but even greater than that. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. All of it. Not partial. Some of it's not on back order. Amazon isn't taking its time bringing that authority to Jesus. He has it all. He has all authority. There isn't certain areas that he's like, yeah, I got authority over there, but I'm not too good. And on earth. And when I see him carrying that staff, that rod, that should comfort me. Because he's my shepherd. And he has all authority. Do you believe Jesus Christ has all authority in your life? Follow after him. Seek after him. Be comforted. His rod and his staff, they bring me comfort as my shepherd who cares for the one and he cares for the 99. The shepherd cares for all. Brother Rick shared a word the Lord spoke to him during worship, a picture of Jesus walking along and he had like a watering can and he was watering the plants and he was happy. Brought him joy. Am I right there? Sometimes we don't know how Jesus is taking care of us. The shepherd is taking care of us. But he rejoices over us. He's glad to see us. And he cares for us, for you, to lead you, to guide you, to do a little more than nudging from time to time so that you would get over your stubbornness. He does all this because he cares for me. Kids, on the back of your page, anybody tell me what it says? What's my question on the back of your page? What's it say?
How does God take care of you?
How does God take care of you? That's the question I'm asking the kids this morning. How does God take care of you? And I'm asking all the kids here this morning. How does God take care of you? Some of you, maybe there's few bruises here and there because God's taking care of you by trying to bring correction into your life. But some of you, God's been taking care of because he's been protecting you from these things that are coming after you. Some of you, you can tell he cares for you because he's watering. He brings you to green pastures. How does God take care of you? Because he cares for you. Oh, he does. And so the kids after the service, I want to hear, how does God take care of you? Adults, share it with other people. How does God take care of you? So we wrap it all up. Jesus is in control. He has all authority over all this. Everything you see, Jesus has authority. He cares for each and every one of us, the 99, the one. He cares for you. He rejoices over you when you wander away. Oh, I'm so glad to see you. He still loves the 99. But we should be comforted by his rest. We should be comforted by his guidance. We should be comforted by his correcting. And we need to be comforted by his protection, that he's there every morning knowing, God, I don't know what I'm going to see on the news today, but you are in authority. You are in control. God, I don't know if this is the last day on earth, but it doesn't matter because you are in control. You are in authority. Jesus Christ is my shepherd, and he gives me all that I need. Let's pray. Father, right now I pray for those that feel that maybe they are going through a correcting in their life. And I pray that they're able to get to the point where they can receive it in love and receive it in Jesus' name, knowing that, Lord, you are bringing them to where they should be. So, Father, bring us in alignment with your heart. Get us back on the path you've designed for us. Father, for those that are thinking this world is out of control, Lord, let them be comforted that you are upon your throne and you have all authority. Father, for those that feel that the wolves are all around them seeking to devour, Lord, let them know that you are a defender. You are a rock. You are a fortress. You are there to protect us. Father, for some of us as we go along life, Lord, keep nudging us. Keep guiding us. Get us back to where we are. And Lord, as we come together here as the sheep, Lord, I pray that we can encourage and bless one another. Lord, it's so good to come back together as a family, as your herd, as your flock, whatever it may be, the body of Christ. We rejoice. Thank you again, Father, for this opportunity. So, Father, we look to the shepherd, your son, Jesus, that you supply all of our needs. Thank you that you are a comfort to us. Thank you that you rejoice over us. Lord, so we receive you as the little children do. And Lord, we look at all the ways that you care for us. And we say thank you. Thank you for caring for each and every one of us, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.